The series on Bible, declaring the whole counsel of God. As the weeks are going by, I am enjoying this series so much so to be able to delve deep into the Word of God. If it was slower, maybe it's fine too, because there is nothing greater than to be able to dwell on the Word of God. As I have been personally meditating on the Word of God, it just came to me the other day that when I tried to open the Bible, the first thing I opened the Bible and I started praying, Lord, bless this food and give me health and energy. I don't know how it came into my mouth, into my heart. Most of the time we do it only for our physical food. But somehow God reminded me that this is the food. Bless this food and give me health and energy. It changed my perspective in being able to know that I'm reading the Word of God for it to feed me. I'm not reading the Word of God for an obligation. I'm not reading the Word of God for the sake of personal satisfaction of the fact that I have done it. Otherwise, if I don't read it, something will happen to me. I'm reading the Word of God so that I'll be fed with the Word of God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, loving God, as we feed on your word, bless this food. Bless this spiritual food and give us health and energy to be able to face the situations in our life. Just like we have our physical food in order to be able to face the germs and bacteria that try to attack us, that we may be able to be strong enough to tackle the situations in our physical bodies. Similarly, we pray, Lord, that you may give us strength and health in order to be able to face the spiritual battles in our life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let us read today's scriptural portion. We'll take it from the New Testament because the Bible, when we meditate upon it, it declares the whole counsel of God. We don't just look at it in one way. God declares the end from the beginning. He declares his whole counsel. So we'll look at a few verses from the New Testament, from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. All together, please. All together, Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Today's sermon is titled, More Than Conquerors. From the book of Joshua, we are going to meditate upon being more than conquerors. Why? Because Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ. As Joshua led these people into victory in the promised land, similarly, through him who loved us, we can be more than conquerors. Through that heavenly Joshua, Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. The Valentine, the one who sacrificed himself for us. More than the worldly way of celebrating it. To be able to know that he is my love. Who loved me. Through him who loved us, we are more than conquerors. Another verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Altogether, please. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are very essential, my dear brothers and sisters, as we meditate upon the scriptures from the Bible. Sunday school songs, yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the Word of God, the Bible. Somebody tried to give an expansion to this Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. These are basics. We tend to try to look at so many other things, but get back to the Bible, my dear. Get back to the Bible. You will see treasures from the Word of God. Somebody said, read the Bible, free gift inside. Read the Bible, free gift inside. A lot of us try to, where is the coupon? Where is it? This page, that page. Free gift inside. How about this? I have read many books, but the Bible reads me. How about something else? One who uses the Bible as his guide never loses his sense of direction. One who uses the Bible as his guide never loses his sense of direction. How about this? With God's word as your map and his spirit as your compass, you're sure to stay on course. With God's word as your map and his spirit as your compass, you're sure to stay on course. Give value to the word of God, my dear. Read God's word, meditate on his word. If you have been neglecting the word of God, maybe it's a reminder for each one of us to come back to the Bible. Maybe you are losing the sense of direction. Maybe you are losing the course of your way. Get back to the Bible. He will give you the whole counsel. We have been meditating on the book of Joshua. Another wonderful book to meditate upon. How much ever keep on reading each book of the Bible excites me to the extent of being able to know, Lord, what more can I learn from your word? The more number of times I'm meditating on your word, the more I'm excited to be able to learn and be fed from your word. It's so important, my dear, that it is so essential for us to be able to know that the word of God is so very clear in terms of his fulfillment. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, if you have your Bibles, please open it. Book of Exodus, chapter 23. God speaks here through Moses or to Moses. And certain words such as I want to share with you here. Now that the people of Israel have entered into the land of Canaan. If you remember last week, what happened between Shittim and Gilgal? What happened? They crossed the Jordan River and came to Gilgal. Gilgal is a camp that they have established for their, you know, conquering all through the land of Canaan. Gilgal is the camping place. It is like a headquarters for them, Gilgal. It's a very important place, my dear. Through Gilgal experience, when they have gotten into Gilgal is one thing, where they rolled away, they experienced circumcision and they experienced God rolling away the reproach of Egypt. Gilgal has been a place. And from that point on, they have to go around the whole land of Canaan. Verse 28, God's word says, I will send hornets ahead of you so that they will drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, Hittites before you. Verse 29, listen to this carefully. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year. Now they have to go conquer the land. They entered the land. The book of Joshua can be divided into four. The first five chapters, entering into the land. Chapter 6 to 12, conquering the land. And then 13 to 22, dividing the land. And finally, consecrating with each other to the Lord, 23 and 24. Entering the land, conquering the land, dividing the land, consecrating to the Lord. So now, for them to conquer, God's word told ahead of time, I will not drive them out before you in a single year. Many times we want certain things to happen in our time. But God's word is saying, I will not drive them in 1 year. Verse 30, I will drive them out before you. What does it say? Little by little by little. Step by step, he leads me. I will follow you all the days of my life. Little by little by little by little. God allows us to go through situations in our life, to be victorious in our lives, but to be able to go little by little by little. This is where God's dealing with us. I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. What a wonderful God he is. When I was reading through this, I thought, Lord, your ways are higher than my ways. I want everything to be done in my way, in my time, 1 year, done with. You know how long it took from chapter 6 to chapter 12? It took them 7 years. From 1406 to 1399 BC, they were going around all this land and trying to capture the land, conquer the land, but not in 1 year. Little by little by little. One at a time. And that is what we are going to see today as to how God led these people occupy the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is a picture of a spirit-filled Christian. The land of Canaan is a picture of a spirit-filled Christian. It is not only for some advanced saints that the spirit-filled life they'll have, a victorious Christian life that they'll have. It is for every believer in Lord Jesus Christ. God has given them to be able to experience the spirit-filled way of living out their Christian life. And that is what seems to be missing in many of our lives. The crossing of the Red Sea is a picture of Christ's death for you and me. The Passover, remember the story that happened before that? The crossing of Red Sea represents or is a picture of Christ's death for you and me. Lord, you have died for me. You have risen for me for my sake. But you have died for me. That is the most important thing that is a reminder when it comes to the crossing of the Red Sea. The crossing of the Jordan is a picture of your death with Christ. Because, Lord, thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Forgive me of my sins. You go through that experience of salvation. You accept him as your Savior. But the crossing of the Jordan River is a picture of your death with Christ. Lord, I am dead with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ died for me. And you express that through witnessing in water baptism. But the crossing of the Jordan River is you telling, I am dead to these things of the enemies that are surrounding me. I am crucified with Christ. So Jordan is a picture of your death with Christ. You experience the life of Christ through Jordan crossing as much as you claim the death of Christ through Red Sea crossing. Red Sea crossing, being able to say, Christ died for me, Christ died for me, Christ died for me. Yes, wonderful. We praise God that you are able to witness that Christ died for me. Are you crucified with Christ? Can you say, I am crucified with Christ? That is your Jordan crossing experience. I hope you are able to distinguish between both. Where God is allowing you to be able to fully rely upon him. The moment you experience salvation of God, when you experience that Christ died for you, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. But if you leave him just as a resident in your life, you will be wandering in the wilderness. But the moment you consider him as a president of your life, not just the resident of your life, but the moment you consider him as a president of your life, you have crossed the Jordan River. Where you rely on the Spirit of God, Spirit-filled Christian, to live a victorious life is the Jordan crossing. The life of Christ is experienced. And so that is very important, my dear brothers and sisters, to be able to not only remember the death of Christ, but the power that he has given through the life of Christ. That is what Jordan crossing is. Many times, we just settle ourselves crossing the Red Sea and stay in the wilderness all through our Christian life. Wandering in the wilderness, going through struggles in our life. No doubt God is a God who is a providing God. He provides manna. He provides water from the rock. But you may not be experiencing a victorious Christian life unless you cross the Jordan River. You need to experience it. There are three phases in a person's life. One, life in Egypt. Two, life in the wilderness. Three, life in Canaan. Life in Egypt is a natural man experience. You are meditating the Bible study on the 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3. Natural man, by birth, they are living a life in Egypt, in the bondage of sin. That is a natural man experience. The moment you receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, to be able to witness in the water baptism to say, Christ died for me, you are set into the wilderness experience. How long you are in the wilderness experience is what your carnal life is. You say, you claim that you are a born-again Christian, but you are not living a victorious Christian life. You are, the way you speak, the way you behave is still carnal. That means we are like those people wandering in the wilderness, complaining, grumbling, murmuring. That is life in the wilderness. But the moment you submit yourself completely to surrender yourself to God and say, God, you be the president of my life. Not only are you my Savior, but I want you as my master and my Lord. Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. No, there's nothing called no, Lord. It's only yes, Lord. There is no way in which you can combine the two words, no and Lord. Why? Because if you call him as Lord, it is always yes, Lord. It is always yes, Lord. That is the life of living in Canaan. Living in the promised land is to surrender your life completely to him. It doesn't necessarily mean getting out of this world into heaven, but it is more of living a victorious Christian life when you cross the Jordan River. We may need to cross multiple times. The Bible talks about Jordan crossing. We went through a series called Jordan Crossing. There was one Red Sea crossing. But the more you feel that you are unable to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, you say, Lord, fill me with your spirit so that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Wiles of the enemy. God said to Joshua in chapter 1, within three days, you need to cross the Jordan River. And then on the third day, Joshua chapter 3 says, on the third day, or after around 3 days, they were ready to cross the Jordan River. It is a symbolism of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. Red Sea crossing is a symbolism of the death of Lord Jesus Christ. But Jordan crossing is a symbolism of the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And that power of resurrection will be given to us when we experience Jordan crossing in our lives. This might seem a little new for each one of us, or try to be able to understand certain things, but this is very essential, my dear. If you do not experience the power of his resurrection, you will remain as a defeated Christian throughout your life. We may perish in the wilderness itself, unable to experience the blessings of God in the promised land. The third day experience, or a 3-day experience of coming out into the land of Canaan. What a wonderful experience that is. And once they entered into the land of Canaan, it was not that they're done with it. Oh, I'm done with my life now. I can live the way it is. This is heavenly. I can do anything I want. No. God gave them the promise to possess the land. They had to go, step into the land, and claim his promise, fight against the enemy in order to be able to capture the land or possess the land. Christian life is a spiritual warfare. As long as you are in the wilderness, you are not taking God seriously enough to give him full control of your life. The moment you realize that, God, my life has been so morose life. I've been just claiming to call myself as a believer in Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not able to experience the power of your resurrection in my life. Then you are in the right place at the right time to cross the Jordan River and experience the promised land in your life and to win over the enemy There are three enemies for a believer. Today I want to share with you quickly on those three enemies. There is a verse just below in your sermon notes. Please join with me in reading that verse altogether, please. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Altogether, please. Shall we read this? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also you, or who also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Book of Ephesians, I told you last time that Book of Ephesians should be read in conjunction, please keep it, in conjunction with the book of Joshua. Joshua and Ephesians have to be read in conjunction. Why? Because Ephesians talks about inheritance. Read first chapter, it talks about inheritance. Joshua, first chapter, talks about inheritance. The blessings of God in heavenly places in the book of Ephesians. The blessings of God in earthly Canaan in the book of Joshua. And it talks about fighting against the enemy. And so, you might have read Ephesians chapter 2 umpteen number of times, but try to join with me in underlining and circling this particular passage now with me in your passage. Join with me in underlining it and circling it. Because we might read it. When we read it, we might not understand what is going on. You might not understand what is going on. Now look at it and try to underline. Once walked according to the course of this world. Circle it. According to the prince of the power of the air. Circle prince. Once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. Circle flesh. The three words. The world. The prince of the power of the air. And the lusts of our flesh. Note it, the world, the prince is none other than the devil or the Satan. And the third one is flesh. These are the three enemies that we are fighting against throughout our life. Because we were going according to the course of this world. Whatever the world says, we tend to do it. According to the prince of the power of the air, whatever the devil tries to tempt me, I tend to do it. And then the lusts of the flesh. Three things. Three enemies for a believer. So please note it down in your sermon notes. The world, the flesh, and the devil. More than conquerors. You and I can be more than conquerors if we are victorious over the world, victorious over the flesh, victorious over the devil. We have completed 5 chapters in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6, please note down, under world, it is Jericho. Jericho, their victory over Jericho is a representation of the victory over the world, chapter 6. Take some time, read it. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 represents our victory that is needed over the world. Jericho, it says, in this particular portion, it says that Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. There are a lot of circumstances that they have to come across. It pictures the problems that we face in this world. And these are the things that we confront when we ask the Spirit of God to guide us, to lead us, to be our compass in the course of our life. It may be a habit which we have for a long time. It could be a circumstance in which we live. In this world, there are so many things that come in ahead of us. It may be a situation which we are placed in, with so many walls around. How can I be able to come out of this worldly way of handling the things? Just as Egypt is a representation of the world, Jericho is also a representation of the world. And Egypt, the way in which God allowed the victory over Egypt was through the firstborn son who was killed, and only those who put the blood on the doorposts during the Passover time are the only ones whose firstborn was not killed. Joshua chapter 6 talks about these things. Just from a picture perspective, from the map perspective, this is what we see, that from at Mount Nebo, Moses died, and from Shittim to Gilgal, they cross the Jordan River. And now from Gilgal, which is their camp, they're going to use that camp to go around, go to the central part of the Canaan, to the southern part of Canaan, and the northern part of Canaan. Three campaigns that they're going to have. Central part, southern part, and northern part. And now they stop at Gilgal and try to look into the first city that they have to capture, which is Jericho. Jericho. And you know what happens? God told them to go around Jericho how many times? How many times? Times. Okay, some people consider 13 as something odd, and you can't even consider the number 13. But let me tell you, it took 13 rounds for them to have victory over Jericho. For 6 days, once a day they had to go around. On the seventh day, they have to go around 7 times. 6 plus 7. How many? 13. 13 times. And 6 days they have to go around with their mouth shut. And on the seventh day, 6 times they have to go around with their mouth shut. And then they have to be able to shout it out on the seventh time on the seventh day. Completion, in other words. Please note down with me. Anyone who had any kind of a doubt in this God, they had to be victorious over doubt in their life. When they go around Jericho. Law, what is this? Just going around the walls of Jericho? Is that done with it? How can we be victorious? You have, note it down, to walk by faith against doubt. Walk by faith against doubt. Walk by faith, my dear. You may have doubts. Lord, will this happen? But if God told you, just do it. Obey the word of God. Obedience. Walk by faith against any doubt that you might have. You walk by faith. And while you are walking by faith, there will come a point of time when you can claim that place for you. And that is where it says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 16. At the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." The Lord has given you the city. Did they get the city yet? They did not claim it yet, but by faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So please note it down. Shout, for the Lord has given. Shout, for the Lord has given. Shout to the Lord. You shout it out, because the battle belongs to the Lord, and He is the one who told me to not only walk around, but the time will come when I'll shout around as well. Shout, for the Lord has given. And you know the story after that? The walls of Jericho fall down. We had one of the VBS themes related to that, and we built a wall on both sides. And it was a reminder. Always, whenever I used to see that wall, now I don't see the wall. Just like the walls of Jericho fell, probably those walls also fell off. And there's no more walls here. But walls of Jericho, the obstructions of this world, the things of this world, God wants us to be able to be victorious on. And then the walls of Jericho fell. And there was one lady, Rahab, who was saved, who was delivered, because Joshua chapter 2 talks about how she knew about this God. She believed in this God. And we will see some of the verses related to that now. Please join with me in reading these verses from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. All together, please. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. See the wonderful words here. I try to underline. By faith, with peace. Peace. In spite of the struggles that they were going through, when she had that faith, she had the peace. Read with me, James chapter 2 and verse 25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? So notice, by faith Rahab, by works Rahab. Because Rahab was a woman who showed her faith in action. There is one other person where the author of Hebrews and the author of James and Paul, others also talk about it. Another person very similar to this lady Rahab, none other than Abraham. Abraham believed in God and it was credited to him for righteousness, that is faith. Abraham was justified by works. He showed his faith in action. If you do not show your faith in action, your faith is a dead faith, the Bible says. So show your faith in action. Rahab was an example, and she was blessed to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5 to 6a. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. Rahab was chosen to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ ultimately through the lineage of David. She was blessed because of her faith and her action. What she did, she believed and she did not perish. That's what it says. So please note it down, the last point. Under the world, faith brings victory. You can be able to be overcomer of this world when you have faith, my dear. If you do not have the faith, you cannot win the things of this world. The world is so attractive around us. The world is out there to attract us, so much so that you and I need to overcome the world. Please note with me important verses. If you want to make a note of these references, that is fine. Please join with me in reading three more verses altogether, please. From Jesus Christ's own words in John chapter 16 and verse 33 altogether. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ overcame the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 altogether. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The next verse. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You see, you can overcome the world if you have the faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we are filled with doubt. You might have a saving faith, but you are not able to have a sustaining faith in your life where it will be a victorious faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. God has given us the faith. Exercise that faith, my dear. Put your faith in action. You will be overcomers of the Jerichos of this world. The walls that prevent us from entering. And Jericho was destroyed. Joshua said, anyone who rebuilds this city of Jericho, their firstborn son will die. At the end of the construction, their lastborn son will die. And it happened in 1 Kings during the time of King Ahab. Somebody tried to build it. His first son died. And his last son died when the last gate was built as well. Jericho was built. But they had to go through a curse of the same kind of judgment of the first son being killed, just like Egypt. That is why, just like we say Egypt is like the world, Jericho is also a representation of the world. Secondly, quickly, let us go to the second enemy, that is the flesh. Note it down. I or AI. Lot of pronunciations here. In American way, they call it AI. I'm not talking about artificial intelligence here. Nowadays, with ML and AI, machine learning and artificial intelligence, everyone, all they know about AI is artificial intelligence. But this AI is Almighty's intelligence, if I may. Almighty's intelligence. El Shaddai's intelligence. God Almighty. AI. What happened here? When they were able to be victorious over Jericho, God told, you shall not get anything out of the land of Jericho. Everything should be devoted to destruction. Nothing. The first fruit is the first city that you are going to destroy is completely going to be devoted to destruction. Nothing can you take and try to occupy it. But what happened? Chapter 7 and verse 1. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. Achan, he stole certain things and he said, wow, this is good. This seems to be good. The world is good. Maybe I can use some things of this world. So what did he do? He took certain things from Jericho and came towards the land of Ai. He chose certain things that God told not to. So second thing that you and I need to note it down is walk in spirit against disobedience. Walk in spirit against disobedience. What is this? Achan disobeyed God. While we are going through our life on this earth, we want to be able to experience not only Jordan crossing, but victorious living. There are certain times of the things of this world we want to keep with us. The things of Jericho to be brought into the place where we want to be able to have. Before I attack Ai, these people brought forth. And then you know what happened? They were disobedient. One person was disobedient. But God said, Israel act unfaithfully. One person, only one person, Lord. It's a big deal. Deal with him. No. If one member is disobedient, the whole body gets affected. Know this. Understand this. If one family member is disobedient, the whole family will get affected. Very important. If one member of the church is acting unfaithfully, the whole church will get affected. That is what has happened. That unfaithfulness began, disobedience to the word of God, who told, don't take things out. We want to walk in the spirit, but the flesh is preventing us to walk in the spirit. Ai experience is experience of the flesh. Galatians talks about it, Galatians chapter 5. Many of us know Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, 23 talks about the fruit of the spirit. But please join with me in reading other verses from Galatians chapter 5 verses 16 and 17. I say then altogether, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. If you say you are a believer in Lord Jesus Christ and say, Christ, the spirit of God lives in me, resident. You have him as your president by walking in the spirit. Don't just say, I live in the spirit. We live in the spirit. Oh, spirit, God, thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given us. Are you walking in the spirit? Then you will crucify the flesh with its passions and its desires. Christ died for you. Red Sea crossing. I am crucified with Christ. Jordan crossing. Crucified. All those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. That is where victorious Christian life comes. As much as possible, if we are fleshly, trying to get things of this world and try to do it, we will not be able to be victorious. Few people went. They were sent. Only few people went. Not all the people. They came back. 36 people died. And Joshua goes and cries out to the Lord, Lord, why did this happen? God said, there is sin in your land, in your congregation. There is sin in your congregation. Deal with it first. Deal with it first. When I was reading through it, I was really touched by it because Joshua was so down in verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, chapter 7 and verse 10, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Why? Why are you so down? What is going on with you, Joshua? That is what God was talking to him. And then he says, go. I'm going to do something with these people. And then he says in verse 13, towards the end of verse 13, when I read this, it really caught me so much so. He said, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. You cannot stand before the enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. Verse 12 towards the end also, read it. It says, I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy the things under the ban from your midst. I will not be with you anymore. Those statements really made me, Lord, as a leader of this congregation, Joshua, he is not somebody who knows everything that is happening in the congregation, but he is dealing with the consequences of the sin that was going on. God had to deal with him to the extent of saying, until and unless that thing is taken away from you, I will not be with you. You cannot stand before the enemy. And Joshua dealt with the sin. He took, made sure that this person, Achan, the word Achan means troubler, the one who causes trouble. We need to remove the things that cause trouble in our lives. And whole of the family of Achan, they were stoned to death. Just because of one man's sin, the whole family got affected. Be very careful, my dear. Chapter 8 talks wonderfully about the way in which they have victory over Ai. They go through a lot of planning. Especially when I was reading through this planning, they divided into two groups. One group goes there as an ambush, and the enemy thinks that only that group is the one which is trying to attack them. So they all go towards that side. The second group goes and attacks the actual city. That's called ambush. In all this, there is one verse that I want us to read in Joshua chapter 8. It says, Joshua chapter 8 verse 26. Somebody, can you please read Joshua chapter 8 verse 26? He did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin or the spear or the sword. He was holding the sword in his hand and he was pointing his sword towards the enemy. And as long as he stretched out his hand towards the enemy with the sword, the enemy was getting defeated. So please note it down. Stretch the sword. Stretch the sword. As long as he stretched out his hand. I got reminded of Exodus chapter 17 against the Amalek. Moses was raising his hand up. As long as Moses' hand was raised up, Joshua was down there fighting against the Amalekites. Now the time has come for Joshua to raise his hands against the enemy with his sword. As long as he stretches, see the similarities between Moses and Joshua. Stretch the sword. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, sword is symbolism of the word of God. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Stretch the sword. Use the word. That is the only attack that you have against the enemy. So please note it down. Word brings victory. Faith brings victory. Word brings victory. We'll stop here. We will take it up next week, God willing, with the third enemy, the devil. It's very important for us to be able to learn these enemies in our life. But for today, maybe we can just focus upon these two, the world and the flesh. What are the things that we have learned about these two? The world, walk by faith against doubt. Shout for the Lord has given. Claim the victory of God. You don't need to fight in this battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. He is the one who will fight against you. For you against the enemy because of your faith that brings victory. Similarly, Ai, walk in the spirit against disobedience. Walk in the spirit. Walk, put it into action, my dear. You walk by faith, you walk in spirit. Your walk of life, your manner of life, and the way in which you approach life. From tomorrow or today itself, you might come across many things of this world, let me tell you. You are going to face the world outside. How are you going to tackle the Jerichos of this world? How are you going to tackle the AIs of this world in terms of your own flesh? F-L-E-S-H. Remove the last letter and try to read it in reverse. S-E-L-F. Yourself is your enemy. Your old nature is your enemy. You are trying to satisfy your flesh. And that is what is causing us unable to have a victorious life. When God tells you not to do something, don't do it. Abraham, this flesh is weak. You will experience its consequences if you are disobedient to the word of God. Very important, my dear. You stretch the word. You stretch the word. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles and meditate on God's word. The word of God will give you victory, because this is the sword. You stretch the sword to the extent of winning over the enemy. And in this particular Joshua chapter 8, it talks about that king of Ai. He was hanged on the tree. After winning over the Ai, he was hanged on the tree. Ai, as I told you, it's a representation of flesh. You need to crucify the flesh. Just like the king of Ai was hanged on the tree, you need to crucify the flesh. So that you can say, you can always say, Christ died for me. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me on the cross. Wonderful. But you can be able to experience the Jordan crossing life if you tell this along with Paul the apostle. Please join with me in reading Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 altogether, please. Finally, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 altogether. I have been crucified with faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wonderful verse. If you can memorize it, memorize it. Even if it is in your own language, Galatians 2:20. Christ was crucified for me, Red Sea crossing. I have been crucified with Christ, Jordan crossing. Can you say that? Otherwise, if you cannot say the second part, I have been crucified with Christ, you are still wandering in the wilderness, living in carnality, claiming to be born again, but causing problems because of carnal behavior. Satisfying the world, satisfying the flesh. Next week, God willing, we'll conclude it to be victorious over the devil. May the Lord bless this word.